I wonder when you picture God in your mind, what do you see? I got this from a church near to where my mum lives. There was once a little boy who wanted to meet God because he wanted to know what God looked like. He knew it was a long trip to where God lived, so he packed his rucksack with Smarties and cans of Coke, and he started on his journey. When he'd gone a short way, he met an old woman. She was sitting in the park, staring at some pigeons. The boy sat down next to her and opened his rucksack. He was about to take a drink from one of his cans of Coke when he noticed that the old lady looked hungry, so he offered her some of his Smarties. She gracefully accepted them and smiled at him. Her smile was so amazing that the boy wanted to see it again, so he offered her a can of Coke. Once again, she smiled at him, and the boy was delighted. They sat there all afternoon, eating and smiling, yet they never said a word. And as it grew dark, the boy realized how tired he was, and he got up to leave. But before he'd gone more than a few steps, he turned around, ran back to the old woman, and gave her a big hug. And she gave him her biggest smile ever. When the boy opened the door to his own home a short while later, his mother was surprised by the look of joy on his face. She asked him, "What did you do today that made you so happy?" He replied, "I had lunch with God." But before his mother could respond, he added, "You know what? She's got the most beautiful smile I've ever seen." Meanwhile, the old woman, also radiant with joy, returned to her home. Her neighbor was stunned by the look of peace on her face. And she asked, "What did you do today that made you so happy?" She replied, "I ate Smarties in the park with God." But before her neighbor responded, she added, "You know, he's much younger than I expected." And it is very difficult, isn't it, to describe God in human terms. There are so many attributes to God, and these include the qualities of a parent. Hosea chapter 11, "It was I who taught Ephraim to walk, taking them by the arms. To them I was like one who lifts a child to the cheek, and I bent down to feed them." So let's think back to today's reading. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing beside her, he said to his mother, "Woman, here is your son." And then he said to his disciple, "Here is your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her into his own home. Mothers. Well, first of all, a little quiz. How many cards are sent for Mothering Sunday in the UK? 10 million, 30 million, 45 million. Who knows the answer to these questions? How does anybody work them out? But apparently it's 30. What food is most associated with Mothering Sunday? Again, apparently, it's simnel cake. How many are you having simnel cake today? I don't. Which Indian city did Mother Teresa found her missionary? Calcutta. The word for mother, Annie, in which language is that? Latin? Yeah, it's actually Turkish. Turkish. What did old Mother Hubbard find in her cupboard? Old Mother Hubbard went to her cupboard. There was nothing in her cupboard, was there? Who painted the picture entitled Arrangement in Grey and Black, the Artist's Mother? Is that Constable, Whistler or Blower? See what I've done there? Whistleblower? I thought that was good. But anyway. Whistler. It is Whistler. According to the saying, what is the mother of invention? Money, necessity or humour? Necessity is the mother of invention. No, don't worry about that. And who is the imaginary author of nursery rhymes? Mother Duck, Mother Goose, Mother Hen? Yes, it's Mother Goose. Yes, Mother Goose. Which 19... Now, here's a question for Dot, but she's not here, so... which 1930s radio star had the catchphrase, "Can you hear me, Mother?" Oh, Sandy Powell, yes. And what name was shared by Spock's mother and an 80s pop group? Was it T'Pau, Aha, or Shalimar? T'Pau, yes. It is. Did you know Spock's mother was called T'Pau? So let's return to the foot of the cross. So here in this account from John, we have a God who really cares. A God for whom relationship is so important. We have here a dying son, a bewildered disciple and friend, and a mother whose heart is broken. Jesus is on the cross being crucified. He must have been in so much pain, enduring so much suffering. Yet his concern isn't for himself, but for his mother Mary and for John. Here is a God of compassion and caring. Is that the image we think when we think of God? Is that what came to your mind? A God of compassion and caring. Even at the moment of his death, Jesus' heart is open to those who suffer. He knew what his mother was going through, her pain and her grief, and so he wanted to provide for her. And by doing this, Jesus revealed his love for his family and gave an example for us. Mary knew what it was to suffer. She had given birth to her son far from home in less than ideal conditions and almost immediately been forced to become a refugee, escaping to Egypt from a king who threatened her baby's life. I can't but help think of where we are today. And throughout her son's adult life, she had stood by and watched as his message was misunderstood and critics and enemies closed in on him. And now at the foot of the cross, she watches the son she once tried to protect being crucified for a crime he had not committed. The depth of Mary's pain must be unimaginable. And I guess most parents experience some level of anguish over their children many times throughout their lives. And for all parents and carers who have suffered heartbreak and loss, Mary is a figure of compassion and solidarity. And so as Mary suffers with her son, Jesus shows compassion to his mother. In the moment of his own pain, he sees how much she is suffering. As well as enduring his own agony, he thinks of her. As the oldest son, it was his responsibility to provide for his mother. And so in his dying moments, he entrusts Mary to his disciple, one to another, ensuring the future well-being of his family. We know that Jesus had other brothers and sisters. They could have looked after their mother in their old age. But we think back to chapter 7 of John, where we're told that his own brothers didn't believe in him. But here in John, We have two people who believed in Jesus and his mission. And here, a new family of faith is created. The church is a family. We are blood relatives, not through our DNA, but through the blood of Jesus poured out on our behalf. We are a family held together by commitment and sacrifice. One day, four ministers stood talking. And as so often happens, the conversation drifted to shop talk. "I prefer the King James Version of the Bible," said one. "The language is so beautiful." The second minister reckoned that no Bible translation could match the New American Standard Version for its faithfulness to the original Greek and Hebrew text. "That may well be," said the third, "but I prefer the New International Version for its contemporary language and easy readability." There was a thoughtful period of silence, and then the fourth minister said, "I like my mother's translation best." With surprise, the other said, "We didn't know that your mother had translated the Bible." "Yes," he said, "she translated it into her daily life, and it was through her translation that I came to know God." And today we do honour all who mother us, past and present, who soothed the tears in the middle of the night, who calmly said yes to another request for clean clothes, for those who patiently encouraged us with our schoolwork, our career choices, who worry and wonder what the future holds in an uncertain world, who listen and try to advise on the ups and downs of friendship and romance, and to say an unconditional yes to babysitting their grandchildren and great-grandchildren. We also honour the memories of mothers who have died, but who in doing all those things and more translated the Bible for their children, husbands, and the rest of the family, just as Mary did, and they pointed us to Jesus. And we also give thanks for our mother church, formed in the blood of Christ at the foot of the cross, the church where we find comfort and support and encouragement, and where we're called to give as well as to receive. Today may not be an easy day for all of us as we remember lost opportunities and difficulties, and we think of those for whom this Mothering Sunday will be the first Mothering Sunday without their mother. There will no doubt also be people who are caring for elderly mothers, for mothers who are not what they used to be. Our passage reminds us that Jesus must have been well aware that sometimes families need to adapt to difficult situations. When something happens to someone in a family, it may be that another person has to take their place. So Jesus invites Mary and John to form a relationship. A new family is created in the shadow of the cross. As one writer put it, here through the shedding of his blood, he forms a new family of love, one that we call the church. As human beings, we are made for relationship. When we feel lonely or hurt, who do we turn to? We find comfort in community, in family life, where we can be strengthened and supported. We get a sense of being in this whole process together. And that is particularly true at this time, when we're facing all the challenges and difficulties surrounding COVID, inflation, the cost of living, and the war. And so as we come to church on this Mothering Sunday, I hope we can be aware that we all bring our own perspective and experiences of mothers, of motherhood, of mothering. And we must recognize our diverse experiences as a fellowship for all who follow Christ. Today, we have an opportunity to say thank you to those people in our lives who care for us who show us compassion and kindness. That might be our mothers, or it might also be others who are like mothers to us. Amen.